Good evening. It's Monday, October the 15th of 2012. I'm David Ortiz, and here's what we have in store for you tonight.
Tonight, Obama supporters threaten to riot if Mitt Romney wins the presidential election, raising the prospect of civil unrest if Obama fails to secure a second term. Then, an early morning SWAT team raid on an alleged meth house produced no meth lab or arrest, but instead left a 12-year-old girl badly burned by a flashbang grenade. Plus, conservative radio host and Breitbart editor Dana Loesch is the latest victim of a TSA grope down in Phoenix. That's coming up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Welcome back. Well, a new study shows that global warming may not be occurring after all. According to the Daily Mail, a report was recently released by Met Office that shows that for the past 16 years, the world stopped getting warmer. That's according, again, to this report by Met Office. According to the Daily Mail, the figures, which have triggered debate among climate scientists, reveal that from the beginning of 1997 until August 2012, there was no discernible rise in aggregate global temperatures. This means that the plateau or pause in global warming has now lasted for about the same time as the previous period when temperatures rose from 1980 to 1996. Before that, temperatures had been stable or declining for about 40 years. So there you have another report that says that, you know, the scientific community seems to be conflicted on this issue. This report is saying that temperatures haven't risen for quite a while, about 16 years. Yet don't tell that to the liberal left. Don't tell that to a far-left comedian, Bill Maher, who insists that if you don't believe in global warming, you're a dummy. Don't tell that to Al Gore, despite the fact that he's made over $100 million scaring the public. You know, they keep on wanting to perpetrate this lie. However, once again, this report disputes that. Here's what is really concerning is that regardless of whether global warming is occurring or not, our politicians here at home are creating legislation to pass global taxes, global carbon taxes. Mitt Romney says he supports a global carbon tax. So does Barack Obama. So regardless of the news and the data that continues to come in, our politicians continue to push forward on this issue. In other news, in an article written today by Paul Joseph Watson on Infowars.com, the headline reads, "New Threats to Riot If Obama Loses Election." According to the article, despite the issue receiving national media attention, Obama supporters continue to threaten to riot if Mitt Romney wins the presidential election, raising the prospect of civil unrest if Obama fails to secure a second term. The new threats continue to dominate Twitter, and the vast majority make no reference to the media's coverage of the issue over the last week, illustrating the fact that they are a legitimate expression of how many Obama voters plan to respond if Romney comes out on top. So there you go. You've got a report from Paul Joseph Watson that says the loving left, who's always claiming that other people are racist, threatening to riot, because that's really what's going to bring us together, isn't it, as a country? It's riots. And let's look at some of these Twitter posts and see what they say from the loving, not racist left. We got some right here that says, if Romney win, we should start a riot. Wow, that if that doesn't say tolerance, I don't know what does. Let's go down to the next one from Libby. If Romney becomes president, let's start a riot. Riot, riot, riot. It's Alex talked about it during his show today, how the, you know, you hear that on the radio all the time in news pieces. Riot, that there's the possibility of a riot. But let's see another one of those Twitter posts. I heard Mitt Romney trying to take away food stamps. If he do, I'ma start a riot. I'ma start a riot. Now, I wonder what MSNBC would say, what the yuppies on MSNBC would say, what the poverty pimps would say if a hillbilly said that. If you had a bunch of hillbillies saying, you know, if Obama wins, we need to start a riot. But of course, the left gets away with this all the time. And it's quite a shame. But, you know, they're always the one pushing racial politics. And as you can see, they're basically insinuating a lot of their supporters that a riot could very well be a possibility. What we need to do as people is not torch our communities, obviously, but focus on the people that have you on food stamps. And that's the globalists. That's the Federal Reserve. That's the bankers. That's the corporate bankers. And yes, both candidates are owned by the banks. President Barack Obama, one of his biggest donors, is the financial sector, as is Mitt Romney. So there, again, you have the loving liberal left, who, by the way, are not racist. You're the racist, saying, insinuating that, you know, there might be riots if Romney wins. Now, look, I'm not a politically correct guy. I think there's nothing wrong with being candid. But if you're going to be not politically correct, then if a Tea Party person says, hey, listen, we got to get Obama out, you can't cry foul if that happens. So it's got to work both ways. And again, the continual theme of riots, you keep on hearing the public talking about that continuously. So let's hope that that doesn't happen. In other news, a new article out by The Guardian says that decriminalizing drug use is what experts say we should do. A six-year study was conducted, and it says that decriminalizing drug use is what experts suggest should occur. The six-year study of Britain's drug laws by leading scientists, police officers, academics, and experts has concluded it is time to reintroduce decriminalization. Well, no duh. We here at InfoWars have been talking about that for quite a long time. Let's read further down in the article. The report says their analysis of the evidence shows that existing drug policies struggle to make an impact and in some cases may make the problem worse. It absolutely makes the problem worse. We all know that the drug war is occurring. Because these narcotics are illegal. You don't see Corona gangs, you don't see Budweiser gangs, but you do see a lot of other gangs. And most of these gangs try to sell marijuana. Not only that, but it's just far less expensive to send these individuals to rehab as opposed to putting them in jail. You see countries like Portugal, Holland, the Czech Republic, who have decriminalized many, if not all, drugs, and drug usage has just plummeted. In Holland, they had a drug epidemic, a heroin epidemic, and they legalized heroin, and heroin use dropped by 50%. In Portugal, drugs are completely legal, and there's less drug usage in that state, in that country, rather, than there is here in the United States. And for minorities that are always talking about the incarceration rate and saying that blacks and Latinos are incarcerated unnecessarily, you should be behind this, because obviously, sadly, minorities are being thrown in jail for months at a time. They're not there with their children because they're taking marijuana. They've taken marijuana. So let's hope that decriminalization does occur. Now, here in the United States, we're going to be talking about this in coming days. I'm going to be interviewing officials from Colorado and Washington who are pushing for marijuana advancements in marijuana reform. There's going to be a referendum in November in Colorado, in Washington, and in Oregon to legalize the drug. And there's a great chance it might happen. So decriminalization will likely be coming here to the United States. In coming days, I will be conducting an interview with some marijuana advocates. So stay tuned for that. And obviously, I personally don't do marijuana, but I think it's so narcissistic to tell another human being what to ingest. As long as you don't hurt another human being, you should be allowed to ingest whatever you want. That is my opinion. In other drug-related news, there was an article today on InfoWars.com, and the headline read, "Child suspended from school for kombucha in lunchbox." According to an article on HealthyHomeEconomist.com, a young child is being hassled because he brought kombucha to school. According to the article, first there was the story of a preschooler at West Hoke Elementary School in North Carolina who was given a highly processed cafeteria lunch containing pink slime. But now we have this scenario where police officers told a boy that the kombucha was illegal, that he brought to school, and very dangerous if he takes any medications, antibiotics, or anything. Then the officer asked the boy, point blank, if he takes any medicines. The officer was talking to the boy after the vice principal brought the officer into the school because this individual had brought kombucha to lunch. That's when the officer was brought in. And the article also states that most outrageously, the vice principal told the boy that he may have to transfer out of that school and that she was looking into it. The vice principal was looking into getting the boy out of the school. She even tried to enroll him in an alcoholics class for teens. That's what the mother of the child says. According to the article, the boy ended up spending the entire day in the school office and then was suspended for 5 days for violating the school's drug and alcohol policy. So there you go. It's just part of the nanny state. It's all part of Mayor Michael Bloomberg. It's all part of Michelle Obama telling you what to ingest. It's all part of the ridiculous drug war. You know, these globalists want to control you. And one great way to do it is by what you ingest. And as you can see, the situations continue to get more and more outrageous. Last week, Rob Dew talked about a story where a certain county is considering putting cameras in the garbage cans at a local school because kids are throwing away their vegetables and the school is saying that those vegetables cost money. State and federal dollars go towards those vegetables. And so they're actually considering putting a camera in the in the garbage cans. I mean, these stories continue to get more and more outrageous. And you could expect that to continue. And obviously in New York City, you have Mayor Michael Bloomberg creating laws that will stop the sale of certain liters of soda. And, you know, if you don't listen to these globalists, you're evil. They're good. You're bad. Speaking of globalists and the ridiculous drug war and the nanny state, recently in Montana, there was a minor dust up, according to an article posted today on Infowars.com by Adan Salazar. It reads, bungled SWAT raid leaves 12-year-old girl badly burned. No meth lab was found. An early morning SWAT team raid on an alleged meth house produced no meth lab or arrest and instead left a 12-year-old girl badly burned by a flashbang grenade. Later on in the article, it reads that the parents said, a simple knock on the door and I would have let them in. Basically, they found nothing. And of course, you have the authorities in the article saying we're going to investigate the matter. But we all know how that goes. They'll just get a slap on the wrist. And that's just, you know, that's what occurs with this ridiculous drug war. Cops kick in your door. They'll shoot your dog. We've had stories where that has occurred. People get killed for no reason whatsoever. And to top it off, it's not even slowing the stem of it's not even slowing the drug trade. People continue to ingest drugs. So at least I could somewhat understand what they were doing if it were slowing the drug trade. But it's not even doing that. And here you have another story of a 12-year-old girl who was badly burned as a result of these SWAT officers who were trying to protect you. They were trying to protect her. Well, obviously, they failed, as sadly the drug officers often do. Now, in other news, a conservative radio host said that the TSA has groped her vagina. They've groped her anatomy. A conservative radio host and Breitbart editor, Dana Loesch, I hope that's how you pronounce it, had her vagina groped during an advanced screening by the TSA at Phoenix Airport, with Loesch complaining that she is targeted for such treatment almost every time she flies. According to the article, she says, quote, they performed the regular pat down and then the agent informed me that she would be using the front of her hands to sweep my groin. She pressed and swept across my crouch 3 times. 2 times wasn't enough. Horizontally, and then, oh, another 3 times vertically. In another circumstance, this would be sexual assault, writes the reporter. And cases like this are sadly quite common. Recently, Alex told me to do a review, which is now posted on the Alex Jones channel and YouTube, where I reviewed a new reality show, a new TSA reality show that glamorizes this agency. So we encourage you to go to the Alex Jones YouTube channel and view that. And it's called Airport 24/7. It's on, I believe, like the Travel Channel. And the TSA is just glamorized on that show. They're hardworking individuals who are simply, you know, trying to keep the American people safe. And according to government statistics, in 2010, now this was 2 years ago, 50,000 Americans were pulled aside by the TSA because of they were concerned that quite possibly they could be terrorists. Of that estimated 50,000, 300 were arrested. However, of that group, none of them were terrorists. None of them were terrorists. But, you know, we need the TSA. We need to spend $8 billion a year on these individuals, despite the fact that they almost never catch a terrorist. I mean, this war on terrorism is so ridiculous. You have a better chance of being burglarized in your home than you do of a terrorist murdering you. But, you know, this is the war that they want to keep on promoting so that they can infringe upon our civil liberties. They want TSAs in the airport. They want the TSA checkpoints on the highways. It's all about conditioning. It's all about let's see how far we can push the American people. And keep in mind that in the month of November, in late November, we here at InfoWars are going to be sponsoring a program called Opt Out and Film Campaign, where we basically encourage viewers to go to their local airport, it's public property, and videotape the fondlers, the TSA agents doing their job. They say it's illegal. They are lying. It is not illegal. It's completely protected. Part of your constitutional rights. You're able to do that. So it's in late November. It's called the Opt Out and Film Campaign. If you want to hold the TSA accountable, feel free to participate in that. I'm going to be doing that, going to be going to the local Austin airport and filming the gropers who love to see what's in your child's Fruit of the Looms. And by the way, if you restrain it all, you're the bad person. They are not, as you can see on that. Taking pictures at the airport. TSA does not prohibit the public passengers or press from photographing, videotaping, or filming at security checkpoints. So you don't even have to have an airplane ticket. Just like if you're sending someone off, you could just, you know, pay a quick trip there. In other news, in another article posted today on Infowars.com, Iron Man-like exoskeleton could give astronauts paraplegics improved mobility and strength. According to the article, NASA and the Florida Institute for Human and Machine Cognition of Pensacola, Florida, with the help of engineers from Oceaneering Space Systems of Houston, have jointly developed a robotic exoskeleton called X1. The 57-pound device is a robot that a human could wear over his or her body, either to assist or inhibit movements in leg joints. Well, that's good to see that obviously we want to end on a positive note. Sadly, there are many Americans who are paraplegics because of the government. They're being told to go to wars. They're ingesting vaccines that they don't have to take. And as a result, it's obviously hurting them. But this is obviously good news. And NASA has obviously come up with other technology that has helped the public. You have this. You have a machine for people who have herniated disc, which I've taken. It's called the DRX-9000. If you have a herniated disc, NASA helped with that. The GPS. A lot of people don't know, but the GPS was created, and NASA had a lot to do with that also. So it's good to see that hopefully in time, paraplegics will be able to walk again, and we hope that that comes into fruition. And we want to end with the quote of the day today, and it's by Henry Ford, the patriot Henry Ford, a capitalist. And here's what he has to say about marijuana. Why use up the forests, which were centuries in the making, and the mines, which required ages to lay down? If we can get the equivalent of forest and mineral products in the annual growth of the hemp fields. And that was from Henry Ford, the patriot. He created many, many jobs. But according to the system, if you feel what Henry Ford feels, you're bad. You're evil. So, but we do thank Mr. Ford. I mean, that's a great comment. Stay tuned. I'm going to conduct a one-on-one interview with Heather Fazio. She's the executive director of Texans for Accountable Government. She's going to talk about how she was recently able to get the names and addresses of many children as a result of the RFID program in San Antonio that is taking place. So stay tuned for that.
Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one.
Republicans never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. We just expanded next door. We're coming for the New World Order.
Ah! Yeah!
It's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world.
Here's freedom.
InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com to read our mission and to see the amazing roster of guests we've got lined up sharing their insights on liberty and resistance to tyranny. I got involved in radio and TV as well as filmmaking 17 years ago because I didn't like the direction I saw our country and our world going in. The attacks on basic freedoms like the Second Amendment, the move towards collectivism and the nanny state. And over the last decade and a half, InfoWars.com and my radio show and the films have become really part of the core resistance to tyranny worldwide. It seems like yesterday, but it was more than 5 years ago that I was sitting in my small office of about 3,000 square feet and realized that we were already reaching millions of people a week and that we had a responsibility to expand our operations in the face of the globalist. It was listeners 5 years ago that demanded we have a money bomb and expand our operations. We've gone from less than 10 crew members to more than 50 today. 5 years ago, I was reaching about 3 million people a week. Now it's 15 million a week conservatively. Imagine what will happen if you just tell one person a day about InfoWars.com or our news reports that are online. Imagine what will happen if you donate just $5 or $10 to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and allow us to go to the next level and put the nightly news out on free-to-air satellite worldwide. No, that one action won't save the world, but it will trigger brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere that will bring down the globalist and restore humanity on the right path of justice and liberty and a level playing field. We have a choice. The globalist dark age of control freak technocracy or 1776 worldwide. This October 18th and 19th, from Thursday morning right through into Saturday morning, it's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world. I'll see you live with the free video and audio streams emanating from PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. I'm Alex Jones, defending liberty, resisting tyranny.
My friends, Alex Jones here with a very important announcement. We are launching a new salvo in the InfoWar because there is a war on for your mind. You know that the globalists are trying to get everybody online and only online so that they can control and surveil information and also erase books, videos, whatever they want to en masse. That's why we're launching our answer to the internet kill switch, InfoWars Magazine. The first issue, we printed over 90,000 copies of a September issue, and it sold out in less than 2 days. So get your copy of the new technocratic elite issue today before it sells out. Again, we cover from the technocratic social engineers' own words, their own admissions, their plan to take over our society and replace us with robots. But we don't just stop with the rise of the robots and the end of humanity, or will humanity survive the singularity? We get into the government buying now 1.6 billion bullets against the American people. We get into Big Sis's surveillance of this magazine and my website, InfoWars.com. We cover QE3 and what hyperinflation means to you and your family. Whatever you do, don't look back later and wish that you would have taken action. Take action now. People have never been more ready for this information. People have never been this hungry, starving for the truth. And it is contained in the new issue of InfoWars Magazine. This is a time capsule. It is so important we get it out to everyone. If you subscribe now for 12 issues, we will give you the first issue absolutely free. So that's 13 issues for our 13 colonies. part of restoring the spirit of 1776 worldwide.
Again, go to InfoWarsStore.com and order 10 packs, up to 100 packs, at cost, and give them out to people in your area. The response last month was incredible. People are hungry to actually hold this information in their hands. You can also subscribe and get 12 issues delivered to your door and get the first inaugural issue free. I'm Alex Jones, thanking all of you for your support and making our operation a huge success.
Welcome back. We are now joined by Heather Fazio, the Executive Director for Texans for Accountable Government. We're going to talk a little bit about the RFID chip program that is taking place in a couple of San Antonio schools in the San Antonio School District. Heather, Ms. Fazio, thank you so much for joining us here on InfoWars Nightly News.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, Ms. Fazio, we wanted to speak to you because I was made aware that recently you were able to gain access to the names and addresses of many school children. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. The students' addresses, phone numbers, and names, including their grade numbers and the school they attend, is all considered public information and is considered directory information on behalf of the school. And this is all something that can be made public by anyone who simply makes an open records request, which is what I did to get the names, addresses, phone numbers, and grade levels of all the students at John Jay High School and Anson Jones Middle School, the two schools that are their students are being subjected to this pilot program, which uses an RFID microchip in order to track the location of the students at all times while they're on campus.
Now, why did you try to do this? Why did you try to get this information?
Our goal with this information is to educate the parents about the program and to invite them to a community forum that we're going to be hosting in the near future, because the principals and the administration with Northside Independent School District have refused to host any kind of public forum where parents can come and express their concerns and with the program.
Now, there are some new viewers joining us today. Melissa Melton, Jakari Jackson have done a story on this, which you can catch on Alex Jones YouTube channel. We've also had the parents of some of the students who are concerned about this here in the studio. But for the new viewers joining us right now, tell us a little bit about this program that is taking place in several schools in San Antonio.
Well, we're seeing a student locator pilot program being implemented at two schools in the Northside Independent School District. This program is similar to a lot of programs that are going on across the country where microchip manufacturers are looking to expand their market. And so they're selling these pieces of technology as a way for schools to collect more money because they are looking at our children as inventory. That's what this technology was originally used for. Now, here in San Antonio, Wade Garcia and Associates is the manufacturer of the microchip, and they have been lobbying the school district to bring this program on because they stand to make millions of dollars by the implementation of this. And they say that it's going to get the attendance records up so that they get more money from the school, when in reality, all they would need is administrators and people that are the adults on campus to be paying attention to where students are at 9:30 or whatever the time is when attendance is taken.
Now, it seems like a pretty ridiculous reason as to why they're doing this. But again, what is their justification for this? They're saying this will allow people to allow students to increase their attendance. Why are they doing this again?
Well, they'll say that students are sometimes in the gym or in the library or maybe in the nurse's office when attendance is counted, and then the school does not get the dollars, the $35 per student that it should because the student is somewhere else on campus. Now, this can easily be fixed with an administration that is alert and aware to where children are at the time that attendance is supposed to be taken. Now, they'll tell us every trick in the book. The first thing that they have listed on their website, if you go to nisd.net/student-locator, they have a nice, fluffy website there with all the information. And, of course, the number one thing is to keep students safe. Now, how many times have we heard that we have to sacrifice our privacy rights in order for security? We've been hearing this, we've been bombarded with this message, this nonsense since 9/11, and now we're seeing it implemented at our schools in order for them to track our children like cattle. And it's going to take the parents and the community in San Antonio coming together in order to stand up against this program, and we can knock it out here in San Antonio, and we don't have to worry about it throughout the rest of Texas.
Now, I actually have two nephews in the San Antonio school district, and they happen to go to one of those schools. And I was recently talking to them, asking them what do they think about this program. You know, like 12-year-olds, they were a little bit out of it. But one of my nephews told me, well, I just throw it away. He's actually an honor roll student, you know, so this is not some rebel. He goes, well, I just throw it away, and they really haven't bothered me. But from what I understand recently, I don't know if you heard this story, a student threw her little tracker away. She was about 15 miles away from the school. And, you know, the next day, school officials handed the chip back to her and said, don't lose this or else. I mean, just talk about complete tyranny. Have you heard about that story?
I did hear about that story briefly, and it looks like if the students don't wear their badges or if they say that they've lost them, it's a $15 charge that the parents are going to have to pay at the end of the school year. And they're tying these children's education to their compliance with this program. And we've seen Andrea Hernandez and her father, Stephen, going through the proper grievance process with Northside, and they filed their level one complaint, and they've been received with a relief as far as one of their complaints. Andrea has been told that she does not have to wear the chip. She has to wear a dummy badge so it looks like she's supporting the program. But they would not stop the program based on religious beliefs. Now, the Hernandez family is going, taking it to level two. They now have a lawyer out of Baytown who's representing them and is going to help to make sure that they get everything filed properly and that everyone knows what kind of civil rights violation is being perpetrated upon them, and not to mention the health and privacy risks of all the other students at the school.
Now, I mean, does this open the door for child molesters to track down these children?
Well, with the technology, the radiation, the radio frequency is being emitted up to 140 feet around the student. Now, the schools will tell you that they only work on campus, and that's a yes and a no. They can only track students on campus. However, anyone else with an RFID reader that you can buy online for $500 and a little bit of hacker skills to determine the protocol can track these students anywhere they go up to 140 feet. Now, that combined with the information that is made public through the directory information with the school, these predators can go directly to these children's houses with a radiation of 140 feet. They can get the identification number, and they can track the student whether they're at the mall, at the library, or at home.
Now, do you think Ms. Hernandez and other opponents who are taking taking this issue to court, do you think they have a good chance of winning?
I think absolutely. Without an opt-out program in place at these schools, these kids don't have an opportunity to opt out of it. If they have a problem with their religious freedom, they believe that for one reason or another that they don't want to go, they don't want to sacrifice their faith. And then also, if there's a health risk, there are possible health risks associated with this, and these students are being constantly bombarded by these radio frequencies, and this is all experimental technology. Our students should never be treated as guinea pigs with experimental technology.
Now, are there a lot of opponents? Are a lot of the individuals in the school system, are a lot of parents voicing their concerns over this program? Or are they just like zombies just saying, yeah, chip me, it's okay?
Well, unfortunately, there are a lot of parents who are okay with it. They've been brainwashed into thinking that any kind of totalitarian control from government is going to keep them safe. But there also are a lot of people who are overcoming their fear and standing up for themselves. We have almost a half a dozen parents who are at one point or another in their grievance process. And now at the schools, students that do not have the chip are having to go to a specific line, a little separate but equal discrimination there. And they are having to go to the far line being cast aside to get their lunches from another area. And Andrea Hernandez reported that there were dozens of students in that line having to stand there and wait for their lunch. And so there are students standing up for themselves. The thing is that there's been a chilling effect instilled in these children that if they don't comply with the program, that they're going to be kicked out of school and that they're going to get in trouble. And it's, you know, such so amazing to see a young woman like Andrea and the other students standing up for themselves in the face of this authoritarianism that we see in these indoctrination camps.
And if you want to learn more about Ms. Fazio's outreach initiative, you can go to chipfreeschools.com. That's chipfreeschools.com. Now, Ms. Fazio, have supporters of the RFID technology, have they hinted that they might be willing to compromise on this issue?
Their compromise is to do a case-by-case opt-out for people that go through the grievance process. So you have to go and fight them formally and with a lawyer in order to be able to opt out of this. So I don't really look at that as a compromise, especially for the people who have serious religious convictions about programs like this.
Now, are other school districts seriously considering using this technology?
There are other school districts, and they look at San Antonio as a test bed and looking to see how it's implemented, what kinds of objections people have so that they can do a smooth sailing rollout in other districts. So that's why it's so important for people to rally around the opponents in San Antonio right now as they try to take a stand for all of Texas with this program. The next school board meeting is October 23rd, and if you show up at 59 Evers Street at 5 o'clock, you can sign up to speak, and you can show support for all the people who are getting out there to stand up for themselves.
Now, what civil liberty assurances are supporters of this technology giving to the public? I mean, they're obviously, you know, like most people who manipulate, they're probably trying to assure the public that there's no need to worry. It's all in their imagination. What assurances have they been giving the public?
None that I'm willing to buy. You know, on their website, they'll say that it would take a very advanced hacker to be able to get into this information. And they were basically releasing the liability and putting it onto the school district instead of the actual manufacturer of the product, saying that these students are as safe as all of the firewalls that we as a school district have put up to protect them. So they're basically saying there is no way that we can protect you, but there's no way that we can really protect you from anything. But we have done our best to try to make sure that hackers can't get into it. But we all know that that's not true. If somebody wants to manipulate this technology to take advantage of a child, they are going to do that. And we are going to see students being made victim because of the use of this technology.
Now, from a cost analysis perspective, how much will this chip technology program cost the city? From what I understand, the technology can actually be bought. It's more inexpensive if you just go to your local electronics shop to buy it, or it's pretty expensive from what I'm told.
That's right, but the company, Wade Garcia and Associates, is cutting us a break because he knows that if he lets us just get it for $500,000 now to set it up and a little bit of maintenance, that he's going to make millions of dollars on the back end with the money that they're going to bring in. So, you know, it looks like a good investment on paper, but is sacrificing the integrity and dignity of our students really worth making a corporation a few million dollars? I don't think so.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to share with the public?
Sure. I just wanted to encourage, again, folks to go to chipfreeschools.com to show support for the people that are standing up for themselves against this. The next board meeting is October 23rd, and we need as many people to come as possible to show support. You don't have to sign up to speak, but if you'd like to, get there by 5 so that you can get your name on the list and you can let the Northside Independent School District know where you stand on children being chipped like cattle. Again, Chip Free Schools is the website. Please donate if you can't make it on the 23rd. We've raised $3,500 of our $5,000 goal. We're on our way to be able to send mailers to these parents to organize a community forum so that they can discuss the potential risks associated with this program and putting a stop to this in San Antonio so we don't have to deal with it in other cities in Texas and across the country.
Well, Ms. Fazio, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your efforts. You're a true patriot. You're going head-to-head against the globalist, and we really appreciate that. Best of luck.
Yes, thank you very much, and thank you for your attention to this important issue.
And thank you, Ms. Fazio, for joining us today. And we also want to thank We Are Change San Antonio and We Are Change Texas Hill Country, who have helped Mrs. Fazio with her efforts very much so. They've collected signatures for petitions. They are true patriots. Again, We Are Change San Antonio and We Are Change Texas Hill Country. Thank you for the honorable work that you do. And remember to tune in to our Money Bomb later on this week. It's going to be taking place on Thursday and Friday, the 18th and 19th of October. It's going to be 48 hours. It's going to help fund our operation. Alex is going to be talking for hours. I mean, he's just going to be on fire. He's really going to roll up his sleeves during this Money Bomb. And throughout the marathon, you're going to have different reporters hosting and manning the fort. Dan Badondi is going to have a show. Jakari Jackson's going to be on for about an hour or two. I'm going to be on. I'm going to have some guests. Melissa Melton's going to be on. It's just literally going to be Info Warriors uniting to spread the message. So tune in for the 48-hour Money Bomb. It's actually a little bit longer than 48 hours. No, I take that back. It's 48 hours. It's a two-day Money Bomb. And, we're not funded here by George Soros. We're not funded by big pharma companies. We're funded by you, the viewer. And remember, another way to help us out with our outreach is by becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. It's less than $6 a month. You'll get access to a lot of programming. You'll be able to see Alex's radio show during the day. You'll be able to see the InfoWars nightly news in its entirety. You'll be able to see a lot of documentaries in high definition, free ebooks. And it really helps fund our operation. Alex has taken this operation to the next level. He has expanded the team, and he's going to continue doing so. And we thank you so much for that. And we here at InfoWars, we're not all about doom and gloom. So I'd like to take this brief moment to wish my father, David Ortiz Sr. from New Jersey, a happy 63rd birthday. You are a true patriot, and I thank you for putting this info warrior in the world. Happy 63rd birthday, Pa. I love you dearly. And for everyone else, have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And remember, tune in tomorrow night. God bless.
Controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one.
Let us never tolerate outrage.
religious conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. We just expanded next door. We're coming for the New World Order.
It's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world.
Here's freedom.
InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com to read our mission and to see the amazing roster of guests we've got lined up sharing their insights on liberty and resistance to tyranny. I got involved in radio and TV as well as filmmaking 17 years ago because I didn't like the direction I saw our country and our world going in. The attacks on basic freedoms like the Second Amendment, the move towards collectivism and the nanny state. And over the last decade and a half, InfoWars.com and my radio show and the films have become really part of the core resistance to tyranny worldwide. It seems like yesterday, but it was more than 5 years ago that I was sitting in my small office of about 3,000 square feet and realized that we were already reaching millions of people a week and that we had a responsibility to expand our operations in the face of the globalists. It was listeners 5 years ago that demanded we have a money bomb and expand our operations. We've gone from less than 10 crew members to more than 50 today. 5 years ago, I was reaching about 3 million people a week. Now it's 15 million a week conservatively. Imagine what will happen if you just tell one person a day about InfoWars.com or our news reports that are online. Imagine what will happen if you donate just $5 or $10 to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and allow us to go to the next level and put the nightly news out on free-to-air satellite worldwide. No, that one action won't save the world, but it will trigger brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere that will bring down the globalists and restore humanity on the right path of justice and liberty and a level playing field. We have a choice. The globalist dark age of control freak technocracy or 1776 worldwide. This October 18th and 19th, from Thursday morning right through into Saturday morning, it's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world. I'll see you live with the free video and audio streams emanating from PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. I'm Alex Jones, defending liberty, resisting tyranny.